5, more or less, when the sun is in the right position and the wind is blowing at my back. It's the Mike Novak Show, your friend in good times and your nemesis when you owe me money. And it's surprising just how many people fall into the latter category. Oh well, let's just sing.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. And true currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
And greetings, fellow Earthlings. Thanks for listening, whether it's via iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, SoundCloud, the GLN Radio Network at MikeNovak.net, or on the Green Divas Global Digital Network at GDGDRadio.com. Check out the Mike Novak Show on Facebook and on Twitter. The handle is @MikeNow. Or write to me anytime you like, mike@mikenovak.net. Love hearing from you. That last name is spelled N-O-W-A-K. What happened to the year is what I want to know. All I remember is that the shoots were coming out of the ground and everything was green and nice. And then suddenly the leaves are falling off the trees and it's raining and windy and it's Halloween. I guess that's the way things work in the world, but sometimes you're not prepared for it. Oh well. Anyway, a few years ago, when I was still a youngish pup and new to the intricacies of homeowning, I found out about a guy named Corbett Lunsford and his company called Green Dream Group. He came to my home and did an energy audit, which still keeps me up at night. I have nightmares, yes, about that, about infrared photos on my walls, but that's another story. The point is that since then, Corbett and his wife and business partner, who are the same person, who is named Grace, have discovered that many of their clients didn't really care about energy efficiency or sustainability, sad as that may seem. They just wanted their problems solved. So Grace and Corbett regrouped and came up with the Performance Workshop, which has now spawned something they're calling the Proof is Possible Tour. That involves a tiny, moving, energy-efficient house in which they will live, work, and shoot videos all over the country with a tiny person who is set to be born in a few months. I can't do it justice in this opening segment, our conversation, that is, so I advise you to listen to the interview I did with them at their kitchen table in Chicago before they packed up everything to build that tiny house on wheels. The couple of minutes we spend on carbon monoxide alone is worth the price of admission, so I hope you get a chance to listen. You can find more at proofispossible.com. Then, I make a visit to the west side of Chicago. I seem to be going out there a lot, where Thad Smith has been working with his buddies John Hansen and Naaman Gamble on a company called West Side B-Boys. I actually ran into Thad at the Good Food Festival earlier this year in Chicago, and we both had each other in mind and finally managed to hook up, lo these many months later. Now, Westside B-Boys is committed to keeping bees, educating and promoting urban beekeeping and honeybees, as well as other pollinators. I got to be part of a workday featuring four teens who were learning how to harvest honey from hives on Halloween, which I have mentioned already, of all days. It's an inspiring story about pollinators, urban beekeeping, redemption, and honey. Now, you can check out Westside Bee Boys at, surprise, surprise, westsidebeeboys.com. Don't forget to spell boys with a Z at the end. And as always, you can go to mikenovak.net for more information of any kind. I hope you enjoy the program, as always. We rock and or roll right after this. Gardeners are smart. Now, why do I say that? Well, gardeners know that if they live say, in Chicago, in USDA hardiness zone 5B or 6A, they can grow plants that are suited to zones 5B or 6A. If they live in Denver, Colorado, where the zones are basically 5B and 6A, they're going to have some of the same success. That's why a publication like Chicagoland Gardening Magazine is useful in a lot of places in this country. It covers zones from about 4A to 6B, and that's a lot of area. It also has my column on the inside back page of every issue, and even that is transferable from state to state without a license. And speaking of state by state, that's the name of the outfit that publishes Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. They have 21 different publications in the Midwest and the South. Subscribe today by going to statebystategardening.com or call 888-265-3600.
Ain't that America, home of the free, yeah. Little pink houses for you and me.
Welcome back to the Mike Novak Show. Here I am again. I did this last week. This week I'm at somebody's kitchen table. MP3 will travel. That's my new motto here on the Mike Novak Show. With Corbett and Grace Lunsford. Now, you need to understand that, first of all, they're getting ready to go off on a big trip. That we'll get to that. But about, I want to say, six, seven years ago, yep. Corbett came to my home in the Logan Square neighborhood of Chicago, my 125-year-old home. Maybe it's 130 now. And he did an energy audit of my home. And Kathleen and I watched with amazement as he put the blower in the door and sucked air through the house, took infrared photos of the walls, and pronounced to us that our home was not fit to live in.
I didn't say that.
No, you didn't say that. No.
There was lots of opportunity for improvement.
There was, and there still is. But it was fascinating, and it was when you had an outfit called Green Dream Group. Yeah. And now you're expanding and moving. You're not just going to homes. You're putting your stuff on video. Tell me about the Building Performance Workshop and the Proof is Possible Tour. First of all, let me say hi, Grace. Hi,
hi
Corbett.
Hi.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, great to be back. So first of all, Green Dream Group, when we named the company, we just kind of had to pick a name, and green in 2008 was a big deal. So we said, oh, let's do that. And since then, we've kind of been kicking ourselves because we found out that our main clients actually wanted us just to investigate their homes and solve problems. And so it's not about sustainability or even energy efficiency for most of our clients. That's why we changed our branding to the Building Performance Workshop. So what we've realized is that we moved on from that way of thinking about, and we don't even call what we do energy auditing anymore, because first of all, it's not about energy. And secondly, an audit is something that happens to you that's generally very invasive,
yeah.
Right? And it's not great news, and it just doesn't feel good. So we call what we do now home performance analysis.
Mm-hmm. And I'll say that the other thing that we've reflected on the Green Dream since then is those who are looking for sustainability and energy performance and all these things, you can't really get there unless your home is fully working holistically together as a system. So that's where the Green Dream almost is. If you get your home working, you don't have to think about those other things.
Yeah.
I was fascinated by the video that you sent me, and you can find all this at proofispossible.com, right?
Mm-hmm.
So folks can go there and see what you do, but you have turned into sleuths, haven't you?
We moved on to realizing that if we want to make this mainstream. And the main issue is that homeowners don't know who to turn to. If they have a problem in their house, they keep on throwing money at things,
yep.
And often it won't work because most experiments don't work. They have a tendency to fail, right?
And there's also a lot of marketing and advertising that make you myopic. Your living room is cold, so you assume it's your windows, or you assume it's the insulation.
There must
be
some product that I can go buy off the shelf and put in my house, and that will fix it.
You know, I find the same thing in the horticultural world. Everybody thinks that there's a product out there. And my philosophy is always, it's not product, it's process.
Yes.
And that if you pay attention to the process by which you make your soil better, by which you grow your plants in the right conditions, you won't need to worry about products.
Right. Exactly the same in houses.
Yes. Yeah, so, really. So yep. Now we go in and give homeowners a diagnosis of their home and what's going on. So they have a recipe, a prescription to follow. We've actually even really, to take it to the mainstream, have created a television show called Home Diagnosis. And we're going to be shooting that on the road next year too.
Well, okay. That takes us to the whole TV thing. And your evolution is that, I think one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you again is I've watched this evolution, and when you were first doing it, as you said, you thought it was about energy and conservation and that sort of thing, and it's really a different story altogether. And what you've done now is you've made what you do sexy. Why? Why did you go that route?
That's a great question. So if you think of construction, you think of anybody who's a building professional, you've got all of the contractors, and those people are, you'd think of like plumbers crack, you know, with the pants riding too low, people showing up to your house to service your air conditioner, and they have untucked shirts, and
not
they're
returning
just
your
stained
call.
With all kinds of different chemicals and paints and things like that. They're just not people who inspire you to live up to their standards. And so that's the first thing. The second thing is that we use a lot of scientific testing equipment, which is not normal in the construction industry either. And so we wanted to just be able to differentiate immediately so that people would know, this is something totally different that I've never dealt with before. And so the idea is to sell people on both the sexiness of what it is that we do and also on the fear of, uh-oh, like if we're not doing the actual testing, we don't actually know what's happening in the house. And that's the most common answer to, what do you think is going to happen in your house over the next year with moisture or air leakage or heat bleed or anything like that? The answer is, I don't know. And that is a very scary place to be as a homeowner.
And you help them figure out...
Yes. So we can quantify exactly what is about to happen with the house. And that's why the performance testing is a thing.
Right. Because it's dynamic. It's not just an inspection. It's not just a visual. We're really putting a home through its paces with the scientific equipment that we have.
And are you saying that most contractors who come out to your house are not going to have this equipment, that they're... Okay, let's see if I got this right. They're going to come out and they're going to kind of look around and go, well, based on my 40 years of experience, you got a problem behind this wall here. I guess we'll tear down the wall and see what it is.
Yeah, and exactly. It's also, you know, well, my dad had this problem. I remember seeing him and how he dealt with this. And
also,
there's a lot of history involved.
Also, you'll get, if you hire, you know, you have an HVAC person out to your house, their job is to look at the HVAC system. And if you hire somebody, just like in horticulture, you hire somebody to come out and look at your weeds, they're just going to look at the weeds, right? They're not actually thinking about the system of all of the different interdependent and interacting parts, which is the process thing that we come back to again. It's just, it's about the system and tuning the entire system so that your HVAC system and your insulation and your air sealing and your oven range hood and your bath fans and your water heater in the basement are all actually linked to each other. And most people don't understand that. So that's our goal, is to teach people about how that works.
Yeah. And I think that also the most important part of the equation that often in our culture we have forgotten is the homeowner. They're the one who is technically the boss of everybody, right? Mm-hmm. So why are we not making them happy? Why have we as homeowners let ourselves fall into this vulnerable place where we don't know anything? And we don't need to be experts, but if we had a really nice little checklist of knowledge about certain basic principles, then we could hold people to higher standards in construction and home improvement.
One of the other things that you point out in your video, and it's along the lines of what you're talking about right now, is the other thing we fail to take into account is how people use their homes. And everybody lives a different way, and everybody does things, lives differently and uses different resources and moves differently. I imagine there's some people who have an upstairs and then they never go up there. So why do you have an upstairs? But the human aspect of it and the individual aspect is something that I think contractors don't take into account.
No, and we also often forget about the children and the grandparents and those who don't have the highest system what's the word I'm looking for?
The tolerance for things getting into their system. What Grace is kind of getting at is carbon monoxide, which we spend a lot of time talking about, especially as heating season starts here. Your carbon monoxide detector that most people will go out and buy at a home improvement store for $15, $30, $50, let's just say, that is actually specifically designed to ignore anything under 70 parts per million of carbon monoxide.
Okay.
And if it goes above 70 parts per million for over an hour, then it has to go off within 4 hours. And if you think about the things that make carbon monoxide in your house, your water heater, your stove, your furnace, when have you ever heard a furnace run for more than an hour straight or run your oven for more than an hour straight, right? It's, those things turn on and off. So right. These carbon monoxide detectors that people have in their house are actually completely useless for detecting any low levels, which you, if you open up one of these manuals, what it'll say, if you actually took the time to read it, is this is for very healthy, active adults. If you have children, pregnant women, older people, or people with illnesses in your house, you need something else. Because this is not going to cut it.
Yeah.
So that's
so. Kind of, they, are those low level detectors sold? Can you get
they
those?
They are, but people don't know, and that's again why we're going to go on tour and make a television show, because we are sick and tired of the giant organizations that have all of these eardrums and eyeballs on them, mm-hmm. not talking about the important stuff. They talk about silly stuff.
It's a real crime. We actually have Google alerts set up for carbon monoxide poisoning and carbon monoxide death, and it happens on a daily basis during the heating season all over the nation. And what happens when you get carbon monoxide poisoning? You get flu-like symptoms. Prolonged exposure is heart failure. So if an old person comes in with flu-like symptoms, or they die from heart failure.
And they have a history of heart failure in their family, no autopsy.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, we'll just prescribe
you. And it's still there.
It's exactly. Still, and it's in your blood. It's absolutely in your blood. It could be easily tested for, but it's just not happening.
I know where I'm going right after this to buy one of those detectors. Although my house is a barn, so all that stuff leaks out. So let's get back then to the tour. And what is the you're packing up from Chicago. You're taking your stuff. You're hitting the road in what? And you're going to live in a what?
It's a tiny house on wheels.
So we live in a 750-square-foot condo now, and we're going to move into a 170-square-foot tiny house on wheels that we've designed and are building to high-performance standards. So the idea is, hey, we're going to be in your town next week. You can come down and step inside of a house that performs better than any house you have ever been in before in your life.
Yeah, with the goal that if people can look at four walls in a high-performance area, then they can take it back to their home and start thinking about a bigger picture. You know, go small to think big.
We're trying to tell them a story about how a home interacts, that process, which is a very difficult thing to explain. We feel like instead of telling people about it, if we can show them how it works with actual installations of this stuff so they can see, hey, you see that right there? And then that right there. And it's all in one big room because it's a tiny house.
Yeah.
so that they can really wrap their mind around it and learn about their own home.
So Corbett and Grace Lunsford will be driving around the country in their perfectly designed home on wheels, which is not an Airstream, right?
No, it's not. It looks just like a house, like a little house.
And, and people, it doesn't have gables and eaves and a little, like, pretty, you know.
Yeah, we've designed it to be a little bit more aerodynamic because we are purposely taking it on the road.
Right.
But often people do build tiny houses to look like little cottages.
So essentially, it's different than a mobile home in that it's not made out of really lightweight, flimsy materials. It's built to last and it's built to really withstand an earthquake and a hurricane at the same time because it's going to be on the road so often. And also live like a house so that we're in it. We have one sink. We have our kitchen sink. And Grace wanted this, like, super awesome sink. And we have a rule now that we don't let something into our house unless we love it. So we got the best sink that they make, and it's like, oh, that's so awesome.
Beautiful.
So every time we wake up, we go,
front.
Man, this place makes us feel like we're $1 million, even though it's tiny.
Yeah. So.
Is the thing built yet?
No,
we start on that next week. Yeah, we leave Chicago on Monday.
Where are you going to build this?
Florida. Best place to build over the wintertime. It's going to be dry. It's going to be warm.
Yeah. And we're going to be also having a tiny human in February. So
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're adding to the family, and your tiny human is going to live in this tiny house.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Interestingly.
Does that give you concern, though, to have a child and the first thing the child experiences is being a nomad?
Gypsies do it all over.
We're kind of outside the tent far enough at this point that it actually feels good to do things that are not really precedented. Feels good at this point. It feels like, oh yeah, this is where we really belong. It's doing stuff that nobody has really heard of before. It's kind of sick.
And you're going to be videotaping your experiences going to different cities once this is up, and putting together your television show, which is going to be called
Home Diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. Home Diagnosis. The sleuths at work in their mobile home, going places and figuring out problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
answers to problems, actually.
Absolutely. And it's also an interesting culmination of kind of the work that we've been doing over the last few years, because I, in addition to helping Corbett run the Building Performance Workshop, have a company called Sterling Rock Productions, and I've made some films and have gotten really active in the female filmmaking advocacy. So we'll be screening my film, The Other One, which focuses on a surviving school teacher of a school shooting. And that's called The Forgiveness Tour, and talking about, you know, preemptive ways that we can stop some of this violence that's happening. And then also I'm going to be shooting a web series kind of inspired with the Tiny Human and Tiny House called Miss Tiny Detective, where we're going to be partnering with a Girl Scout troop in each town, and I get a tweet from a Girl Scout who's got a problem, and I show up at my tiny house and my tiny human, and Corbett's in the background playing on a tiny synthesizer,
and we solve a tiny problem
that's a real big deal to her,
and it's a tiny little episode with tiny little music in it.
Yeah, so it's going to be
fun. You guys are killing me.
It's
going to
be great.
You're killing me. This is too funny. This is a stitch.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine why folks wouldn't want to participate in all of this. So how many episodes of the program do you expect to have?
Well, we're hoping to visit 16 cities, so we would make 16 episodes. We could do more, but since we're funding it ourselves, essentially,
and a crowdfund, basically. So right now, we are in the process, up until Thanksgiving, of a crowdsourcing and crowdfund campaign, which if they go to proofispossible.com, it'll take you right there and explain everything. It's on Rocket Hub, which is a crowdfunding platform. And so Atlantic City and San Diego were our first two cities to come on the map this week. And we're just about to tip over the $7,000 mark, but we're looking to raise $60,000 to help fund all 16 cities.
By Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, this is just too fascinating, and this is great stuff, and I'm looking forward to following the progress. Go to proofispossible.com, or any place else they should go?
Nope, that's it.
That's it. So it's nice and simple. It's
Even Google it, and it'll come up.
Hi, I'm Peggy, and I have great news. Natural Awakenings, Chicagoland's only monthly magazine dedicated to healthy and green living, is now available throughout Cook and Lake Counties. We feature articles about fitness, local food and drink, gardening and environment, green energy, healthy kids and families, even healthy pets. Natural Awakenings is free and available throughout the city and suburbs, or online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good. Live simply. Laugh more.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687, for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Welcome back to the Mike Novak Show. We're on the west side of Chicago on the last day of October. Yes, it's Halloween, and it looks like Halloween. It's dreary, it's raining, and we're going to be processing some honey, getting it out of the hives and separating the honey from the wax. I'm with Thad Smith from West Side Bee Boys, and he's got a crew of students that he's teaching beekeeping to, at least a little part of it, how to process and collect some of this honey. Now, yeah, it's raining, so let's go inside to the basement where all of the work is going to begin. Here we are in the honeycomb.
Honey house, yeah.
The honey house, yeah. Right, in the basement here with beekeeper Thad Smith, and you're with the West Side Bee Boys, one of the best names ever for an organization.
Thank you. So when I came up with the name, I long story, my former employee, I didn't think I was getting paid what I need to get paid. So I said, let me start my own business. And so I was trying to think of a name that was going to really stand out. And I knew I wanted to have West Side in it. And, you know, I'm a B and I wanted to be more urban. So kind of West Side B-Boys was just born.
With a Z on the end.
With a Z, yes. Right, with
exactly.
A Z.
That's how that works.
Yeah, with a Z. Because again, it's the whole, I wanted to be really urban. Have that urban feel.
Mm-hmm. So what is West Side B-Boys?
West Side B-Boys is a collaboration of three people. Not actually more than that. It's on my team. But John Hansen, who is the former Illinois State Beekeeper of the Year in 2008, the former president of the Illinois State Beekeepers Association. Naaman Gamble, who is the former head beekeeper at Garfield Park Conservatory.
I've had him on my show.
Yes, he said he had. Yeah, he enjoyed it. So those are my two partners. Actually, John was my first one. How I met Naaman was, I met Naaman several years ago at an event, and I loved his passion. I loved his style, and I said, one day you're going to work for me. 2 years later, 2 years later, the opportunity came up, and he actually works for me now, and he's been the greatest asset that I can.
So you're the entrepreneur of this outfit, right?
I would be the entrepreneur, yes. I do the vision. I go out and do. I'm just a vision. Those guys actually do the real work, and it couldn't be West Side B-Boys without those guys.
So what is the situation here where you bring in students to work? What's that all about?
So Heartland Association, they do these programs for youth during the summertime, especially on the West and South Side, just due to the violence that's out on the street. So I wasn't able to get any students this summer, but they called me back and said, hey, we want to put some kids to work this wintertime. Sure, come on down. So these are kids from various places, just trying to get some work experience, stay off the streets, just meet new people, get different experiences in their life. You know, they do good. I'll do a recommendation for them. Whatever they want to do in life, they now have an ally moving forward. And that's what you need as you go through life. You need allies. You need people to say, hey, I need you to talk to somebody. No problem.
And experience. And it's not necessarily the experience of working with honey. It's the experience of working on a team, as you
right.
mentioned.
And that's why I got a team lead. It's important in working with groups that sometimes you need to step back. Sometimes you need to take the lead, you know. Yeah. But that's, as a 16-year-old, you really don't know that yet. So these are, I want to put them in places that test their knowledge and maybe think outside the box. So this is what we call a honey house. The honey house is pretty much basically where we bring all of our frames, and then we extract, we strain, we bottom, we label. This is it. You guys go ahead and take your coats off, get comfortable.
And I should explain that we're in a basement with an old stove and a sink and buckets.
Yeah. All right. So a typical honey house. A honey house can be in anybody's house. A honey house is just where you do your honey. That's pretty much it. So for a hobbyist, it would be your kitchen as your honey house. We're not that large, so this is our honey house for now. We're getting a building on 3414 West Roosevelt, so that'll be our production space. But this is John's house. John's been a beekeeper for 40 years, so this is where we're at right now. All right, come on, guys. So these are just typically some of the tools that we use. For example, this is, all right, so all this right here are all buckets of honey. This is all that we extracted. They're different colors. The darker, it goes from dark, medium, medium dark, medium light, to light. Right now what we're doing is we're shutting our apiaries down for the wintertime. And in order to do that, when you take honey off of a hive, how much honey you take off, you want to replenish that with sugar syrup. So right now we're in the process of feeding all of our hives. I got 110 right now. Sugar syrup is just basically sugared water. It is for the wintertime. You want to make it two parts sugar, one part water. For the summertime, you want to make it one and one. These are just some of the pots. It's just kind of messy when you do this work. It's very messy. All right, so let me show you. So this is an extractor. This is a 8-frame extractor. It's motorized. When we're done extracting the frames, we put it in here. It uses centrifugal force, spins it out. It'll come out here. It'll strain. We'll put it through a strainer. This gets out all the wax, all the little bits, heads, legs, and damn, I wish I had a bottle. I wish I had a bottle of honey that I could show you at the end. But that's what we're going to be doing today. You guys ready? Oh, yeah. Love the enthusiasm. All right. Love the enthusiasm. Love it. All right. So once we get done extracting, there's usually wax left over. And that wax, what we do is we melt it all down. That's just the yucky stuff from it.
It looks like mud.
It is. It's really literally mud. And then what happens is when honey sits in a comb for a little while, it just darkens. Yeah. So even when you extract, there's still honey left over. So what we do is we melt this down. We have the wax comes to the top. The whatever honey's left at the bottom goes to the bottom. We just take that wax and use it for something else. We can use the honey for now. Then we can sell that honey to yeah, you get used to the smell after a little while.
What do you think it smells like?
It smells like honey, but it's not though.
Right.
Like, well, it smells sweet, right? Yeah. It's got that sweet.
Right. It's sweet. The hotter it gets, the sweeter it gets, and sometimes it doesn't smell good the hotter it gets. I mean, but it smells good. I like extracting. When we start to extract, you can smell the nice heated honey. It smells really nice, man. It's a beautiful, beautiful smell. A hive smell. Like when you typically go to a hive has a smell. A healthy hive, just like a healthy human being, you have a smell.
Yeah.
And so for me, every time I open a hive and I get that smell, it's like home. You know what I mean? It's just like, all right, cool, healthy hive. When you smell something abnormal, then you know there's going to be a problem and then you might need to address it. All right, so let's crack this open. All right.
Oh my God.
All right, so this is a typical honey frame.
Okay, you've got this big plastic tub, and you took a frame out of it. How long has it been sitting in here?
I just got this yesterday. This is from, so what I'm doing is I'm extracting for a client of mine. When I first started my business, in order to generate revenue, I needed something to do, and extraction of frames was the first thing I wanted to do. So this is from my first client, and he's got, like, five frames of honey. I'm sorry, five supers of honey that we're going to extract for him.
What's a super?
This is, all right, so this box right here that I just took out of the plastic, it's a wooden box. I don't know the exact dimensions right now, but there's three types of boxes. There's a small, medium, and deep. The smalls are very small, I mean, like maybe 5 inches long. I want to say about 13 or 14 inches across. But it's smaller, it doesn't hold a lot of honey, so it's easier for older beekeepers. The medium frames, which is what this is, are typically called Illinois supers or honey supers. And that's where you typically gather your honey. The deep frames are typically your brood boxes, and the brood box is where the bees lay all their eggs. Or some people run all deep, some people run all deep medium, some people run two deeps for their brood chamber, and then the rest are mediums for their honey. So it just all depends on the beekeeper and their personal preference is really pretty much what it boils down to.
So what happens with these now that you've pulled them out of the container?
So now what we're going to do is we are going to scrape all of the, so right on top of the frame, this is called burr comb, and bees will build comb anywhere they have space. So what we're going to do is we're going to scrape this. We're going to take our hot knife, which I haven't heated up yet. We're going to scrape off the wax cappings that are on here. And we're going to put it in our extractor. And then we're going to turn it on, extract it, strain it, and then we're done.
When we met at the Good Food Festival, you alluded to your own story, which is a little checkered, right?
Yeah, I've got some issues in my background. I want to say about 5 years ago. 5 years ago, I lost my house. Then I became homeless. And so I didn't know what the heck I was going to do, man. I slept in Grand Park for like the first week. Didn't know what I was going to do. And So I got into this place. Throughout that time, I just made some choices. I wrote some bad checks, got caught.
I was going to ask you, because how does a guy as sharp as you, who's obviously as sharp as you, go down that path?
I believe that life is all about the situation that you're in. Because every day you're in different situations, and you make choices in those situations. I decided to make a bad choice. Look, I'm smart. I knew I was going to get caught. But I think that's why I did it, because I just was tired. I was just tired. But I will have to say this. That choice that I made was the reason why I'm sitting here talking to you. So, yeah, it was a bad choice, but I was able to overcome that through working with the North Lawndale Employment Network. They have a program called U-Turn Permitted. I went through that. I became president of that class. Then I got hired at Sweet Beginnings. The first week I'm there, we went in a beehive. I fell in love. I found my passion. And 2 years later, a year and a half later, I became the head beekeeper at Sweet Beginnings and started my own business. Now I'm opening up a store. So, yeah, I had a checkered past, but I didn't let that stop me. And I sought out people who were willing to help me help myself. Everybody pay attention, because guess what? You're going to be next. All right. So we are now going to start the extraction process. All right, everybody come close. So you want to cut down like it is a turkey is pretty much what you're doing. And as you can see, that how it comes right off. Very nicely. Do it on both sides. And like I said, it's just like cutting a turkey. Very simple, very easy. Now, as you notice, seeing how you look, how nice and sweet that looks. Now that's going to make it easier for us to extract it. So that's pretty much all there is to doing it. I'm going to do a couple. And then, guess what? There you go. That's what I like to hear. All right. Now, I have been doing this for a long time, so it looks like it's easy. It is not. It takes a while to get used to it. But once you, it's like driving a car. Once you get the process down. All right. So, volunteer. There you go. I like that. All right. So, here you go. You ready? All right. So, like I said, here's the best way to do it. Hold it down like this. Take your, here, move your hand so you can get that cord underneath. All right, go ahead and hold it. Now, you want to hold it at an angle, and then you want to cut like you're cutting bread. There you go. See? There you go. Just keep going. Good job. All right, lick that off. Turn it around to the other side. Okay, same thing. Just like you're cutting bread. There you go. Cut it, girl. Cut it. Come on. Come on, like you cut your man because he cheated on you. Oh. All right. Well, you ain't done yet, girl. All right, so now
you got to scrape it. All
right. Now gouge his eyes out, girl. Gouge his eyes out. All right, don't do it too hard. You don't want to do it. You want to do it just enough, because when you gouge it out like that, you're taking the honey out. And the main purpose of extraction is we want to get all the honey we possibly can. There you go. Come on. Now you do the rest.
It's sticky.
All right. Now here. Now you're not done. You scraping that. Now you're scraping. Okay. Hold it on your own. All right, let's wait. So remember, we're not trying to poke the dude's eye out. We just want to scratch the back. Scratch the back, all right? Scratch the back. Scratch the back. Just a little bit. You just want to make sure you just break the... Yeah. There you go. There you go. Scratch the back. Scratch the back. All right, turn on the other side. Yeah, you just poked him in the eye. All right. Scratch the back around here. Scratch the back. Scratch the back. Scratch the back. Ooh. Scratch the back. Scratch the back. Scratch the back. Scratch the back. Okay, hold on. All right. Good job.
We'll return to Thad Smith of the Westside B-Boys and the kids down in the Honey House right after this.
Captain's log, Stardate 42326.1. The Enterprise is under attack by an apparently hostile life form. Mr. Worf, status report.
Inexplicable, Captain. They appear to be perambulating vegetables. We are being stalked by stalks of asparagus.
That is incorrect, Mr. Worf. Killer asparagus was the subject of a very popular 21st century tome by the brilliant author Mike Novak.
Mike Novak. I'm familiar with his work,
and so am I.
Mike Novak was one of the smartest, funniest people in the horticultural world of the 21st century.
Tell me more, Mr. Data.
He has been variously compared to Mark Twain, Dave Barry, and Edgar Allan Poe.
Raven Gosplach, my favorite holiday dish.
Thank you, Mr. Wolf. Mr. Data, options?
It seems to be available online at aroundtheblockpress.com.
Aroundtheblockpress.com. What do they have to say?
It appears that Mike Novak is a slapstick every gardener.
I prefer my asparagus with a side of patach kakach.
Mr. Worf, are you joking?
Actually, Captain, I believe he is choking.
What we do now, Papa Bounce, and there, Papa Bounce. What we do now, Papa Bounce, and there.
Welcome back to the Mike Novak Show. Let's go back down into the basement, a.k.a. the Honey House, where Thad Smith and his West Side Bee boys and girls are harvesting honey.
You're talking in a hive over an entire winter, or I'm sorry, over a summer. You may have maybe, let me see, 10, 20, 30. You may have three cycles in a month of brood being born. The queen can typically lay anywhere between 1,500 to 10,000 eggs a day. Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Math Major, you, what would be the formula to figure that out? Because you're the math major. Now look at me. You bragged last week, bro. I'm making you that mad this week.
I said, I know how to do it.
Yeah, I know. No. I just put you on the spot, bro. Don't worry about it. But, typically, at any given time, there's 50,000 bees in a hive, a healthy hive. You can have some that are larger, you can have some that are smaller, but anywhere between 30,000 and 50,000 is a nice, healthy hive.
And how many hives do you have total in your operation?
110 right now. We're looking to expand to 250 next year. We want to have 200 production hives, and then 50 nucleus hives. And a nuke is a starter hive. It may have five frames. You have a queen. She's laying eggs. In the wilds, anything, nature is nature. So in the wild, it's a 70% survival rate for bees. That's just nature. So we try and replicate that with what we do. And sometimes things happen, hives die. So with the nukes, that's the ability to actually have a laying queen with eggs. We can actually supplant that where we don't lose production with that hive. Instead of getting a new queen and then introducing a new queen and trying to repopulate it, the nuke will repopulate it rather quickly.
Have you had mortality problems that other beekeepers are experiencing across the country?
We have different problems than a beekeeper in Florida may have or in California may have. So it just all depends on the area. The one big thing that we're dealing with are varroa mites. And varroa mites are little bitty bug, and it's like a flea, and they suck the blood from the bees. The problem with those is varroa mites vector in other viruses. And that seems to be the problem that we're having. You're looking at Israeli paralysis. You're looking at Kashmir virus. You're looking at... there's one that just freezes them up. I can't think of it offhand. but there's several different viruses that can really wreak havoc on your hive. You want to have your mite level checked before you go into the wintertime, because in the wintertime they keep reproducing, but the bees don't reproduce in the wintertime. So you may have a healthy hive in the winter, but when you come to the spring, it might be all dead because mites killed it. Now, the next thing we're going to do is we are going to extract. So hand me that bucket right there. So this is just our strainer. So, come over here. So, look in and look on the sides. You'll start to see honey fly off the sides. That's just a centrifugal force throwing it off. So, what we do is we let this run for like about 10 minutes. Here, somebody come over here. Stand here and hold this so it doesn't go up. So, we just let this run for 10 minutes. Then we'll flip them over and we'll do the other side. It'll start to strain through here. You'll start to notice it as it starts to fill up. Then what we'll do is, I've got bottles. We won't do the bottling today, but I've got bottles and we'll just go ahead and bottle them after that. So after you extract, what you want to do is you kind of want to let the honey settle for like about 24 hours. You want the air to come out. You want everything to settle. So I'll come back and bottle tomorrow. But, all right, so as you can see, it's coming out right now. And you can notice the little wax flakes or what have you. But this is the extraction process.
So tell me about the store. This is the culmination of several years' work.
Yes, it is. Several years. The one thing I wanted to do is I wanted to have the store in North Lawndale, because that's where I came from. That's who gave me my start. And I think that's where the jobs really need to be. Two, being in North Lawndale, I'm able to hire people who have my background. No questions asked. I don't care. Hey, if you're here to work, I'm here to put you to work. Three, it's the only beekeeping supply store here in the Midwest in Illinois.
Now that, okay, we got to stop right there. How's that even possible?
I don't know. Because a lot of beekeepers, the thing is you order online and you have your stuff delivered. That's really the way beekeepers work. If you happen to have a store in your city, great. If you don't, then that's fine. But also beekeeping's, it's coming to the forefront. There are a lot of people are looking at pollination, bees, how we can save them. So I don't think before there was a need, because you have Christy Weber and Belmont Feed and Seed who sell equipment, but they're not beekeepers. Belmont Feed and Seed is for birds. Christy Weber is really for plants. So there's no true beekeeping supply store where you can come in and talk to a beekeeper, have a class, get involved with the programs that we're getting involved in. So this is truly a brand new and wonderful experience that's going to be here in the city of Chicago.
So it's going to be in Chicago, and is the store going to help you increase the number of hives, or is that totally different?
Completely different. This is going to allow me to, there's over 10,000 beekeepers here in the city. It allows them to not spend $25 on shipping their equipment. Now they can come to a store, save money, and actually talk to a beekeeper about what they're getting, what's going to be the best for them, what's their experience. When you order online, they don't know that crap. They just sell stuff. That's what they're there for, the sell. You are now can talk to a beekeeper who has experience and who's an urban beekeeper just like you.
Where does it go from there? You set up the store. When do you expect to have that happen?
We're going to close on the 12th. I want to open up December 1st. And from
December 1st of 2015, you want to have the store open.
Yes, I want to have the store open.
Is that good timing? It's to be, you know, we're 3 weeks away from winter at that point.
But now's the time that people buy their bees, people buy their equipment, people set up their classes. This is your prep time, so to speak. Like for football, this is our off season. This is now we're training, we're getting our paperwork together. You know, this is the off season for us. When we get into the season, it's over. There's no, you, once you start, if you're behind, you're going to be behind the whole year. Mm-hmm. So this allows us to target the beekeepers that really want help before we start. This allows us to get the store together before the season starts, which is April 1st, I like to call the beekeeping season. On the second floor, we're having an a business incubator space where people can come in and if they want to start a business, we can provide that for them. It's just really, I think, with the children we're going to be working with, Southside Occupational Academy and some other schools. So now this is really going to be the place where they can come to be a safe haven, where they can learn about bees, they can get mentorship, just talk to somebody on a regular basis. It doesn't have to be about bees, just about life.
And that's how you give back to the community.
Exactly, man. I have to. I've always learned this. I must give back to what was freely given to me. Because if you don't, you no longer receive anything. If your hand is closed, you can't give anything, but you can't get anything. If your hand is open, you can give and receive at the same time. Come on. Go. You work. You prepared one.
Yeah, I don't want to taste it. This one.
Man, you're going to taste it.
What if I
don't like
see?
I don't like trying to taste no.
Grab one. This is a prerequisite. I'm not signing nothing for today unless you taste something. Let's go.
I'm going to get sick.
You ain't going to get sick. Just a little bit. You don't need a lot.
Look, he ain't even put none on there.
That's enough. That's all you need. Mike, you want one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to give you one.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
And that wax is edible. Don't worry about it. It's all natural.
All right.
Here, step on up.
Can I get some? Thank you.
It's sweet.
It's good. Well, it's... Honey is... the original sweetener. You guys keep forgetting that before sugar. Before sugar, there was nothing but honey. That's what everybody used. Dude, don't be. Oh, I thought you double dipping. I thought you were double dipping. So, like I said, this is. You know you like it, girl.
That's good stuff.
You know you like it. If you haven't tasted honey, if you're used to the unnatural sugar, then that's what you're used to.
I eat the honey that's in like the teddy bear.
Okay, so let me tell you about those honey. So 78% of the honey that you buy in the store is not real. You know why it's not real? Because it doesn't have pollen in it. And pollen is part of the process. I wish there was. Sometimes you could see where there's pollen in the honey. So if your honey doesn't crystallize, does everybody know what crystallization is?
No.
All right. Crystallization is just the process of the honey getting, it just hardens up. Mm-hmm. And it's still good. That's just the way it protects itself. That's its Tupperware. Yeah, that's how it does the Tupperware thing. Two, honey doesn't spoil ever. Did you know that?
Why?
It just doesn't. Just because of the acidity, the way it's, there's not enough acid to grow molds, mm-hmm. and there's not enough water, whatever, how that works. I don't know the science of it, but I know there's a science behind it. It's about water. Water brings mold, which brings other things. So because of the low water content.
It's low.
But the one in the stores, we have like expiry dates and stuff.
Right. Honey doesn't expire. It just doesn't. I'll give an example. King Tut. You guys know about King Tut, or were you guys old enough for that?
Yeah.
All right. King Tut was one of the mummies they found. It was like the biggest find because they hadn't found a tomb like that because people were raiding tombs, stealing stuff. So this was a great find. What they found in there was a jar, and in that jar it contained honey, and that honey was crystallized. What they did was they warmed that honey up. I don't know if anybody ate it. I personally wouldn't eat it myself. I probably would. But they ate it, and it was fit for human consumption. And it had been sitting in a tomb in a jar for 2,000 years. 2,000 years. And this honey was still good to go.
So I could have honey for 2,000 years.
2,000 years.
And still have it to go.
That
means you could buy honey all day and just eat it. You would never go home.
It never
go.
Well, now, like I said, it needs to be raw. Raw honey. And raw honey is, it's not pasteurized, because the honey that they put in the store, they pasteurize it so it doesn't crystallize, because we here in America, we're so spoiled that we don't understand really what natural stuff is. We're going to be working with Southside Occupational Academy. That's a school with children of 16 to 24 years old with physical and mental disabilities. We're hoping to have bees be a therapeutic value for them. We're going to have hives at UIC. next year, where we hope to start a whole new program with them. John Hansen, one of my goals is having him teach a class at UIC next year. So those are the two things that I'm most proud of. The other thing is we have a new product. It's called Bella B Sparkling Honey Water. It's just honey and water. We're in Whole Foods. We're in Bowl Trust Roasters, Local Foods, Sugar Beet Co-op. It's a wonderful new product that I think is going to actually change the game as far as drinks are concerned.
Why?
It's all natural. It's water and honey. There's nothing else in it. Nothing else. Nothing unnatural. It's all, it's great for after you work out, you get hydrated. Plus you get the calories that you need after your workout because your body's always feeding on itself. In the summertime, it's a great drink if you want something sweet but don't want anything unnatural. And you get the hydration from the water. And then it's a great mixed drink for bourbon or gin. Again, you don't add anything unnatural. But you get
except
the sweetness.
Acceptable,
well, you know. But, you know, for example, the hangovers come from the sweet stuff. This is a nice, cool summer drink or nice evening libation.
We got a question.
What's up?
It's only like six of them up now. Do you want to turn?
You got to grab some more. And
I'm saying, do you want her just do her two?
Like, yeah, just have do her two and then fill that up. And then we'll do the next one. All right?
That was going to be my last comment. Your team seems to be doing pretty well here.
Keith, all right, so that gentleman right there, he is the smartest kid at his school. He is scored higher in his math score than any kid has ever been in that school.
We were talking about the math.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, the math thing. Yeah. And I love him. He's, you know, he's just a 16-year-old kid, man, just trying to do his thing.
Are they roughly all 16?
They're all 16, yeah. They're all 16. Just trying to find their way in life. He was the first one who showed up last week. That's why I made him the team lead. And he kind of reminds me of me when I was a kid. You know, smart, want to learn stuff, but still a kid, still 16, you know.
Congratulations. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man. I'm finally glad we got a chance to talk, man.
Me too.
My thanks to all on the show today. And I would be remiss at this point if I did not say go green or go home.
You can find more information about The Mike Novak Show at mikenovak.net. That's MikeNowak.net for links, photos, and commentary.